Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to worship on this, the first weekend in the season of Lent. For our friends who are worshiping online, just a reminder that you can go to our website, which is chapelofthecross.org, and there you will find a lot of information, but specifically you can find the bulletin for this service under the Resources tab, and you can see options for giving your offering to the Lord in His work under the Give tab there on the homepage. A few things for everybody to know and to think about before we begin worship today. Chapel member Thelma Dunger died in the Lord this past week. A visitation will take place at Buckholz West County on Friday the 26th of February. Starts at 9:30, goes to 11:30 in the morning, and then the funeral will follow at 11:30 at Buckholz West County on the 26th. As we begin the season of Lent, we began this past Wednesday, just a reminder that we will be worshiping not only on the weekends during Lent, but also each Wednesday at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Those will be identical services on those days, and we'll worship on those Wednesdays all the way until Holy Week. So please join us for midweek worship during Lent. After the worship service today, our ushers will be handing out a brief survey that the Board of Elders is requesting that you take. That is an information gathering survey just regarding the safety measures that are put into place here at Chapel since the beginning of the COVID virus problem. We're going to be having this survey available this weekend and next weekend to take with via paper. We will also have it available through our website and via email blast. We do ask you to just take the survey one time. So if you take it now at church tonight and get an email later or see it on the website, just take the survey one time. We'd appreciate that. The ushers will give you the survey. Pens are available on the little card table near where you picked up your bulletin, and the box to return those surveys is also there on that little table. So we thank you very much for the information that you will give to us through that survey. I want to call your attention to one important announcement in your chapel weekly. On Sunday the 7th of March at 12 noon, we will be holding a voters' assembly regarding the calling of specific ministry candidate Ellery Glenn. Ellery is about 2 years into his seminary program, and it is at this point when he receives a call from Chapel of the Cross. All confirmed members are invited and encouraged to come to that voters' meeting March 7th, that Sunday at 12 noon. And more information about that is in your chapel weekly. God's blessings to you as we worship this day. We begin by listening to our opening hymn, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. For those using their hymnals at home, that's hymn number 418 in Lutheran Service Book.
the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever. Amen. Thanks be to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father."
"Yes, my son," Abraham replied.
"The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?"
Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son from me, your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, The Lord Will Provide. And to this day it is said, On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now read Psalm 25 responsively. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Our epistle reading comes from James, chapter 1. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We now confess our common Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every year, as we begin the Lenten season, we are kind of driven to look back. It's a season of looking back, really. Looking back upon the crucifixion of our Lord and looking back upon the cross of our Savior, Jesus. And we've done that many, many times. Every year, we do it. Many of you, I'm sure, could tell that passion story from memory. Jesus hanging on the cross. The women standing below the cross, weeping. Soldiers gambling for his clothes. And the words from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It is finished. And we know that story very, very well. We've looked back on the cross many times. But on this first weekend in Lent, we're asked to look back just a little bit further. In fact, we look back all the way to the first book in the Bible, first book in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. See, there are many godly people who are not looking back to the cross. Rather, they were looking forward to it. Think about those people in the Old Testament, David and Moses and Elijah and Joseph and Isaiah, all these people of God looking forward to the cross. But today, the person who will help us to take a look at the cross, a forward look at the cross, is a man named Abraham. Now, there's not too many like Abraham. There's nothing ordinary about that guy. He was a man with a great God-pleasing character. And he was a man that God richly, richly blessed. One blessing after another he had received. He had wealth and property and servants. Abraham had it. He had many, many treasures. And Abraham was a man who was very thankful for each and every one of them. But he had one special treasure, a treasure that was greater than all the wealth and all the property and all the servants. God had given him a son. In fact, God gave him that son when it was physically impossible for Sarah and Abraham to have a child. It was such an incredible thing that Abraham and Sarah named that boy Isaac, a name that means laughter. They were so full of joy every time they saw their boy, said his name, they would chuckle, they would giggle with delight, with joy, because of this wonderful gift of God. And I don't think Abraham saw Isaac as such a great treasure because he was his only son, or just because Isaac was an answer to a whole lot of prayer. Abraham saw Isaac as a treasure because that was the way that God had chosen to bless the world. Remember what God had promised to Abraham. From your family, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed, because from your family is going to be born the Savior of the world. And when that boy finally arrived, Abraham was a jubilant man. Finally, God had fulfilled his promise. He's given me a son. Our family tree will go on, and a Savior will be born. Abraham had great treasures, but this one was his greatest treasure. Can you imagine how he loved that boy? All his hopes, all of his dreams, just delivered in that one child. But one night, God comes to Abraham, and God says to him, Abraham, I would like you to take that son of yours, that son whom you love, Isaac, that son who fills you with laughter, and I would like you to take him to Mount Moriah, and there I want you to sacrifice him to me. Boy, what kind of demand was that? Sometimes hard for me to say goodbye to my kids in the morning as I send them off to school. I know I'm going to see them in the evening. It's tough to say goodbye and send your kids off to college, though you know you're going to see them in a few months. And even though, Lord willing, they will be coming home again, it must be extremely difficult to send your child into the armed forces and say goodbye. The Cleveland family is going to be doing this week as Jaleel heads off to the Navy. Well, God comes to Abraham and he says, I want you to say a final goodbye. Take that son of yours to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice to me. And incredibly, amazingly, the next morning, Abraham takes two of his servants, gets his son Isaac, and they leave the home for a trip to Mount Moriah. They get to that mountain, they left the servants at the bottom, and Abraham and Isaac start climbing. Can you imagine the feelings going through Abraham as he climbs up that hill with his only son? Can you imagine what's going through his heart, what's going through his mind? He's just got to be just mixed up, distressed, emotional, confused. Is God so crazy? Is God so cruel? Am I crazy to trust in him? I got all of his promises, and now he asked me to offer up this son that he's given to me. It kind of reminds me a little bit of some of the stuff that we go through in our lives. And really, sometimes life seems like it's just all messed up, and we get so upset. Yet we've got that promise that all things work together for the good of those who love God. And we can't seem to match those two things up. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. But sometimes we feel so very lonely. And sometimes we feel very unloved. Like God's a million miles away. And I think we get maybe just a little taste of what Abraham must have been going through that day. When they get to the top, Abraham built an altar. He had built many altars in his day, I'm sure, but nothing like this altar. And then they took the wood that they brought with them and set it on that altar. And Abraham had done that too many times in his life, but he'd never put wood on an altar like this before. And then Abraham bound his son and put him on that altar and took the knife and raised it to slay his son. But then a voice. Oh, thank God, a voice. Abraham, here I am. Don't touch the boy. Untie him. Don't do anything to him. And can you imagine how fast those ropes got off his son? And he looks up, and there is a ram stuck in a thicket. And Abraham sacrifices that ram instead of his son. Great story, isn't it? Incredible story. It's a great story about great faith of Abraham. It's a great story about great obedience of Abraham. But no, not really. That's not really what this story is about. We certainly see the importance of faith in this story and the importance of obedience in this story. But if we read this story, we hear the story, and all we think about is great faith and great obedience, I think we kind of missed the point. And we haven't read the story right. Because this story speaks to us about our Savior. This story is a beautiful picture of the gift of salvation that God gives to his people. Abraham is about to sacrifice his only son, but he didn't have to do it. He doesn't go through with it. God stepped in, and Isaac was spared. But there is another one who did give up his son, his only son. He allowed him to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He allowed him to be sacrificed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That was his son, his only son, a very precious child. But for us and for our salvation, it was what he wanted to give. And through his son, God stepped in. And God intervened on our behalf. Oh, this story isn't just about strong faith. It's not just about strong obedience. This story is about how God steps in with his salvation. When that knife was poised, it was God who said, "Abraham, don't touch the boy." And God stepped in to save. And this wasn't the first time, and certainly wouldn't be the last, where God stepped in. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, when they had fallen into sin, there was one who stepped in for them. God said he would cover them. God said that Satan one day would be crushed. Jacob was a cheat. He was a deceiver. He cheated his brother. He deceived his dad. He certainly did not deserve to be blessed, but God stepped in. And God said, "I'm going to bless you anyway." You look at Joseph. He's thrown in a well, sold as a slave by his brothers. But God stepped in again, made him governor over Egypt. God steps in his own time and in his own way. And as we look at this story of Abraham and Isaac, we see so clearly the shadow of the cross. A picture of what was to come, how God stepped in on behalf of his people. Through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice that only God could provide, we are forgiven. Because of his sacrifice, our sins are remembered no more. Because God stepped in for us, we, whose sins are as scarlet, the Bible says, are made as white as snow. And did you notice in such a beautiful way how that God of ours steps in one more time, 3 days later? He is risen. Because he lives, we live. Because God stepped in, we are given the gift of life. We are given the gift of eternal life. Our God steps in for us. Now, sometimes we don't see it. Truly, sometimes we're totally blind to it. Sometimes we get upset at God for not stepping in the way we think he ought to. But if you doubt that God steps in for you, just remember when you receive his very body and his very blood, like you'll do tonight, God steps in there, and he gives you his love, and he gives you his forgiveness. And as you look back and you remember your baptism, boy, you see it again, don't you? God stepping in through the water, through the Word. God has stepped in and He's made you His child. Oh, our God steps in. And in Abraham, He gives us once again a beautiful picture as today we look forward to the cross, to Good Friday, and then to Easter. We see that great God who provides a sacrifice. We see that great God who steps in for His people. We see that great God who steps in for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, prepare our hearts as we enter a time of reflection and repentance during this holy season of Lent. Open our eyes to the significance of the cross as we journey with You to Calvary and as we receive the forgiveness that You won for us there. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, You once gave Your Son to be tempted by the devil for us and for our salvation. Help us and all who are assaulted by the many temptations of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, that we may be strengthened and supported by Your grace. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Guard and keep Your church, O Lord, from every attack of the devil. Bless the members of this and every congregation, that in thankfulness for Your great mercy, we may continually support the work of Your church through our gifts, our service, and our own faithful witness to Your goodness and mercy. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, we pray that You would bless and strengthen Jaleel Cleveland as he enters into the service of our nation in the United States Navy. Help Jaleel to do his best in his service and keep him safe. Help also his family and loved ones during their time apart. Renew all of them with Your promise that nothing can separate them from Your love and Your goodness. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we ask that You comfort and strengthen those who are sick or injured, hospitalized, or recovering from recent surgery, including Roberta Loesch, Audrey Spears, and Harold Webster. Give them Your healing, Your comfort, and Your strength, and give all of us strength to offer the support and love needed during their sickness and recovery. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask, Lord, that Your peace and Your comfort be given to those who mourn the loss of loved ones, especially the family and loved ones of Thelma Dunger, who died in the Lord this past Monday, David Eggers and his family upon the death of his cousin, Eula Brakefield, this past week, Sherry Briley and her family upon the death of her father this past Tuesday, and the family and loved ones of Eddie Hester, who died in the Lord on February 4th. Visit them, Lord, with Your love and with Your grace as they take comfort in Your promises. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, You created a world for us to know Your love and Your peace. Yet amidst the beauty of creation, we encounter pain and hurt and forces beyond our control. We pray this day for all those affected by the freezing temperatures in Texas and other places. Hear our prayers, Lord, for those affected by the severe weather and for all those working to bring relief and hope. Give to them Your peace, Your strength, and Your comfort. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Dr. Thomas Egger has accepted the call to be the next president of Concordia Seminary. We ask that You bless him and his family as well as the whole seminary community during this time of transition. Work mightily in and through him as he leads the seminary in its vital ministry of forming pastors, missionaries, deaconesses, scholars, and leaders in the name of Christ and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated. We now take and eat the very body of Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of your sin. And take and drink the very blood of Christ, shed for you and for many on the cross, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. We stand. Now may this eating and drinking keep and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in the Lord's peace and in his joy. Amen. We pray. O God, our Father, the one who fulfills his promises and gives the crown of life to those who believe, we thank you for keeping your promises, even when it meant the death of your one and only Son, Jesus. We thank you that in spite of all of our wrongs, you give us forgiveness freely in this sacred meal. Guide us on our pilgrimage throughout this life to the life that you have promised, so that together with all of your saints, we may celebrate the feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.